The text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 75, the first five verses. Psalm 75, first five verses. To the chief musician, set to Do Not Destroy, a psalm of Asaph, a song. We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly, Selah. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. And to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God is the outpouring of a heart that knows God's mercy and that has experienced God's grace. It is the language of joy. The language of joy uses words of thanks and joyful praise that we pour forth in song and in word over and over again with fervent zeal because we want to praise the Lord, for He is great and greatly to be praised. The best way that you can use your mouth is to praise the Lord. Ever since the fall, we want to praise ourselves rather than praise the Lord. We think that we are great and greatly to be praised. We think that we know so much and that we are so good and so glorious. In Psalm 75, the sinless God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ instructs us by His own example and by His own word to give thanks to God, not to ourselves, for we are helpless. We give thanks to God who hears our cry and who replies to the taunts of our enemies. Let us never stop giving thanks to the Lord, or we may fear that another time our prayers will remain unanswered. Gratitude should always spring up in our hearts. We should praise God again and again and still again. We should praise God without ceasing. Stinted gratitude is ingratitude. We should give God measureless thanks for His infinite goodness to us. We should thank God because He is our Creator. God is our Provider. God rules our lives. God rules all people, men and nations. God rules all of history. God is our Heavenly Father. God is love. God is gracious and merciful. God saves sinners. God forgives all of our sins through His Son, Jesus Christ. God is a just judge who executes both mercy and justice. God is angry with the wicked every day. When catastrophe looms over us, when civil rulers act wickedly and deceitfully, when there is war or rumors of war, when we are surrounded by enemies, when we face difficulties and trials, when we are reviled and slandered, when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, we need to remember that God judges uprightly at the proper time. We should rejoice and give thanks to God without ceasing because He governs the whole world according to His holy will. And He also sustains His church by His grace and His sovereign power. And that includes you and me, if we belong to Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God who saves us. We did not save ourselves. We thank God for saving us and bringing the gospel into our minds and into our hearts and into our lives. We give thanks to God not to our civil government, not to our pastor or our teacher or our parents. We give thanks to God for godly civil rulers. We give thanks to God for a godly pastor or teacher or parents. We thank God for those wonderful gifts. All praise and all thanks belongs to God alone. The credit, the praise, the thanks never goes to the instrument that God uses, but to God who created the instrument and who uses the instrument for His own purposes. As the scripture says, we love God because He first loved us. Offer to God thanksgiving, the psalmist says, and pay your vows to the Most High. And the Lord commands us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything, all of you, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is not an option. It is not something that we can do if we feel like giving thanks or if we want to give thanks to God. God commands each and every one of us to give Him thanks. This is absolutely essential. This is critical. It is vital. It is necessary. It is required. We owe everything to God. Every breath that we breathe comes from God as His gift to us. God gives us our life. God gives us our country. God gives us liberty. God gives us daily work. God gives us a wife or a husband. God gives us children. God gives us health. God gives us our home. God gives us family. God gives us friends. God gives us His church. God redeems us. God gives us eternal life. Everything we have comes from God. We owe God all thanks and all praise. Our hearts should be grateful to the Lord. Our blessings do not come to us from an anonymous benefactor who wants to remain nameless. Our blessings come to us from God, the Almighty, Holy, Living Lord. Our blessings come to us from God, who has the most excellent name in all the earth. Some of you have sung the Latin song from Psalm 115, verse 1. Non nobis Domine. Non nobis sed nomini tuo da gloriam. That is, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to Your name give glory. Because of Your mercy, because of Your truth. We should not thank ourselves for our salvation. We should not thank ourselves for Christ's church. We should not thank ourselves that we are blessed. We thank the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength, the scriptures tells us. That is the expression of a soul that God has delivered from death. That is the expression of a soul to whom God has given great privileges. That is the expression of a soul that knows God's redemption in Jesus Christ from death and from hell. The joy of the Lord enlivens and strengthens us. We cannot receive all the wonderful gifts that God gives us in His Son, Jesus Christ, without giving thanks to Him without ceasing. We give thanks to God because He is good. We give thanks to God because He has poured out upon us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We bless God because according to His abundant mercy, He has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We give thanks to God because we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of God who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. If that has happened to you, you will thank the Lord. We give thanks to God for redeeming us from all the power of the devil. We give thanks to God for the forgiveness of all our sins. We give thanks to God for His wonderful providence. Only to God the glory, or soli Deo gloria. That is the motto that grew out of the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s. It was used by Johann Sebastian Bach on every composition he wrote. He affixed the initials SDG at the bottom of each manuscript to communicate that it is God and God alone who is to receive the glory and the praise and the adoration and the thanks for the wonders of His works of creation and of providence and of salvation and of judgment. In the second part of Psalm 75, verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ says to God and teaches us to say to God, "For your wondrous works declare that your name is near." What does that mean? The Hebrew text says, "For near is your name. Declare your wondrous works." This is Hebrew poetry. The wondrous works of God tell us that God's name is near. God Himself is near. His wondrous works teach us that He is near. God is with us in Jesus Christ. God dwells in us by His Holy Spirit. We do not praise and thank and worship a hidden God who sleeps and who leaves the church to whatever might happen to it. No, we praise and we thank and we worship the one true living God who is always near us even in our darkest hour. We praise and we worship and we thank and we adore the one true living God who is a very present help in trouble. And therefore we will not fear, though the earth itself be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. We praise and worship and thank and adore the one true living God who has revealed Himself to us by His wonderful works. Psalm 105 begins, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples, sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of all His wondrous works, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and His judgments, the judgments of His mouth. O seed of Abraham, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones." Psalm 145, verses 4 through 7, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. We give thanks to God and we make known his wondrous works and that his name is near because of who God is. And because of what God has done in this world and in his church and in us and for us. We let others know what he has done and how he has done it. We are to have a lively and devout sense of God's excellencies and God's glory and God's majesty and God's blessings and God's mighty works. We're to speak about our God with humility and thankfulness and joy. There are so many reasons for you to give thanks and praise to God. The word declare in verse 1 means to count, to check off, to detail, to record, to report. God has given to us a record of his wondrous works in the Bible. Do you count his wondrous works and declare them to others? Do you count his wondrous works in your life and the lives of others and in history? Do you pay attention to them? Do you take notice of the wondrous works the Lord does? Do you speak of them to those around you? A rescued person loves to tell the story about that rescue. A rescued person wants you to know what happened to him. You will not believe what happened to me and how I was rescued just at the right time. The scripture says that we are a brand plucked from the fire that would have burned up. God has snatched us out of the jaws of his judgment and given us his great grace and mercy. God has kept us from what we deserve, and he gives us what we do not deserve. We want to recount that. We want to tell others about it. Every day I am grateful that I do not receive from the Lord what I deserve. And God in his grace gives me his blessing forever. He gives me his mercy and his glory forever. Psalm 68 verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. The Lord loads us every day with wonderful benefits and blessings and gifts, none of which we deserve. Do you have a thank list or just a wish list? What is on your thank list? Do you ever thank God for running water in your house? You do not have to go out in the wind or the cold or the rain or the snow or the heat of the sun and fill a bucket with water and bring it back to your house and boil it over a fire before you can drink it. Do you thank God for ice? Do you thank God for your home and for heat? And air conditioning, and lights, and electricity? Do you thank God for your car? You can get from one place to another so quickly and with so little effort. We tend to take all of these things for granted. until we have to live without them. Not only are there so many spiritual blessings for which we should thank the Lord, but there are also hundreds and even thousands of material blessings for which we give thanks to God. God's name is near. God is present with us. God's power and glory and word and works are near. No one can deny God's presence and God's power and God's glory except by holding the truth in unrighteousness, by suppressing it. God's name is near or close to us, as opposed to what? God is near as opposed to the false gods who are absent from us. The false gods have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. The false gods cannot answer prayer. They are not near. They cannot help anyone. They cannot do anything. Our God dwells in us. He dwells in His church. He is the head of His church. The church is His body, His holy bride. That is a nearness that you cannot escape, a connectedness that you cannot escape. Jesus' name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. He is not a God who is separate, who is distant, who is far away from us. Our God never leaves us. He is with us always, even to the end of the age. He never forsakes us. He never lets us go. He is never far away. That is the true and living God. That is the God we worship. The Lord says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 through 14, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off." It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?" Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?" But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. The Word of God, brothers and sisters, becomes a part of you. That is nearness. God's wondrous works display God's mighty power and God's glorious majesty. God's creation, the Bible says, displays the invisible things of God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood through the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead." We see God's invisible attributes right outside in this world, in the changing of the seasons, in the way that the birds are fed. God shows Himself to be real in so many wonderful ways every day. Everything that exists is not an accident of time and of chance. No accident of time and chance produces order. It does not happen. You cannot have a meal this evening by an accident of time and chance. It will never happen. That is not how food gets from the field to the table. That is not how you enjoy a savory dish for dinner. It takes order. It takes work to produce a beautiful meal. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 says, "For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessings from God." You eat food because God sends rain. and makes the crops grow and produce increase. You eat food because someone plants and cultivates and harvests. And God directs all those things. Nothing comes by chance. Everything comes by God's fatherly hand. The history of God's people displays His providence, His deliverance, His redemption. The Christian gospel is proclaimed in all the earth because God is near. God is among us. He speaks to us by His word and through His servants who preach His word. And He has given His church the great commission to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all the nations. And when the gospel is preached, God is pleased to save sinners and to change men's hearts and to change their minds and to renew their lives. The preaching of the gospel transforms the world. What about your heart? Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Your heart knows that Christ has redeemed you from your sin. Your heart knows that you have not been redeemed from your sin. A forgiven sinner has so much to thank God for. How many of your prayers God has answered? How many thousands of testimonies declare the presence and the mercies of God in the midst of trials and afflictions, even persecution, for the sake of the gospel? When it looked hopeless, God preserved you. When it looked like there was no way out, God provided a way. We thank God for His mighty power that raised the Prince of Life from the grave and set Him at the right hand of the throne of grace and of majesty on high to gather and to preserve His church and to conquer and destroy and defeat all His enemies. And He is coming again to judge the world in righteousness. We have so much to give thanks for. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks in the first person in verses 2 through 5 of Psalm 75. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly, Selah. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. And to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. Jesus Himself says in John chapter 5, verse 22, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. In verse 27, Jesus says, the Father has given authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. The Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 17, in the Areopagus in Athens, verse 31, the Lord Jesus Christ is the man whom God has ordained to judge the world in righteousness on the day which He has appointed. The Apostle Peter says in Acts chapter 10, verse 42, God ordained Jesus Christ to be the judge of the living and the dead. This is foretold in Psalm 2. It is foretold in Psalm 96, verse 10 and 13. He shall judge the peoples righteously, for He is coming, for He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His truth. This is foretold in Psalm 98, verse 9, for He is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness, He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. When the Lord Jesus Christ chooses the proper time, He will execute just judgment upon all people. Christ will judge all men uprightly. He will set in order. He will adjust. He will correct all those things which are in confusion. He will recompense justly every evil, every wicked word, every sinful deed, and every ungodly person. He will bring proper order from the disorder and the chaos that sin brings to men and to the world in which we live. He will deliver His people from all their enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself shall sit upon the throne to judge all the world with righteousness and with equity. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved under the just judgments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ judges the world in righteousness, He will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. The kingdom of God, the rule of God's King, the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot be shaken and therefore shall remain. Those are the pillars which Christ sets up that cannot be shaken, that cannot be removed, that cannot be torn down, that cannot be destroyed. God's kingdom of righteousness shall stand forever. And even the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it. Against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verses 28 and 29 of Hebrews chapter 12 conclude, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The Lord says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Revelation chapter 6, verses 14 through 17 describe the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up. And every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave on and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath has come. And who is able to stand? This sure and certain hope that Christ will judge the world uprightly and that neither our King nor His eternal kingdom shall be shaken or destroyed sustains us and comforts us in all our afflictions and in all our trials. It upholds us and it gives us courage even in the midst of persecution in this life. God is a just judge. And He will not be mocked. He will judge all men with perfect righteousness and with holy justice. And He will sustain and deliver and redeem and protect all who love Him, all who trust in Him, all who worship and serve Him. After setting forth his messianic office as the just judge of all men, the Lord Jesus Christ warns and rebukes the boastful and the proud who lift themselves up against the Lord and against his Christ and against his just and his holy and righteous judgment. Christ says to the proud and to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. He says to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. Those who boast and are proud are mad. They rage blindly. This is the effect of them despising God. It leads them to indulge to excess in pride and glorying in self. That pride and that madness and that rage may boil over and pour forth floods to overwhelm the godly who fear the Lord and who worship Him. But the Lord will protect those who trust in Him. The Lord will protect the godly from all harm. God will protect their life by His almighty power. With the most perfect ease, Christ, the King, and the Judge, is able to humble all pride and restrain the most daring and presumptuous attempts of men against Him and against His church. The Lord commands the proud to stop boasting. He commands the mad oppressors, stop your folly. He commands the ungodly, stop your haughty boasting against me and against my church. The foolish men, like wild and savage beasts, lift up the horn, the emblem of man's wicked pride and power, to attack heaven itself, as if they would gore the Almighty and destroy Christ. In dignified majesty, Christ rebukes the foolish glorying of the wicked who exalt themselves beyond measure in the day of their pretended power. God's word abases the proud. It humbles the lofty. Oh, that all proud men would obey God's word given to them here in this psalm. For if they do not, Christ will subdue them under His feet and bring His just judgments upon their necks. He shall break their horns and roll their glory into the mire forever. To speak with a stiff neck is to speak in defiance and in rebellion against God. It is to speak with impudence. To speak with impudence and rebellion against the Most High is madness. The outstretched neck of insolent pride is sure to provoke God's axe. And those who carry their heads high shall find that they shall be lifted even higher, as Haman was on the gallows which he had prepared for the righteous man Mordecai in Persia. God commands the proud man who boasts, be silent, or God will answer you in judgment. Who are you, you worm, that you should arrogantly object against your Creator's laws and attack His truth? Be silent, you vainglorious boaster. Or Christ, with righteous vengeance, shall silence you to your eternal destruction. Christ derides and despises whatever the wicked plot and conspire to execute against Him. All their sins, and all their commotion is in vain. They're like madmen who are drawn here and there by their own foolish imaginations. Pride is the cause, or the mother, of all rash and audacious endeavors. The reason why men rush with such recklessness upon unlawful endeavors is that they are blinded by pride, and they form an undue and an exaggerated estimate of their own power. And this is not easily removed from the hearts of sinful men. Only the Holy Spirit of God is able to humble the proud heart of sinful man. Only the Holy Spirit of God is able to bend the stiff neck of man who lifts up his horn in pride against God and in blindness against Him. Plead with the Lord to humble your heart before Him this evening, so that you bow your knees before God and you worship Him with godly fear and with holy reverence. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will have eternal life. If you do not humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal King, who rules from heaven, will judge you in righteousness, and you will be destroyed forever. Fall at Christ's feet and worship Him, lest He strike you with His sword that comes out of His mouth and destroy you forever with the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to You. We give thanks to You, O Lord, for Your wondrous works. That You are near to us, that Your name is near, that You hear our cries, that You are near to deliver us and to protect us and to preserve us from all Your and our enemies. And Father, we thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your loving kindness shown to us so abundantly in Jesus Christ. Lord, we also thank You for Your just judgments. We thank You that You have appointed Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as judge, and that there is a day that You have ordained in which that judgment shall finally and fully be meted out. A day in which He will judge the world uprightly and with justice. A day in which the earth and all its inhabitants will be dissolved. Only that which You have established, Your King and Your kingdom and Your people, shall be preserved, steadfast, immovable. Lord, search our hearts. Remove all pride and all boasting. Remove the stiffness of our necks and of our hearts. Give us Your Spirit, that we may humble ourselves before Your glory, before Your majesty, before Your word, before Your Son, before the just and holy judge of all the earth. Give us faith to believe Your word and to obey. And Father, we pray for those whose neck is stiff, whose heart is proud, who lifts up his horn against You and against Your church, seeking to harm Your people, seeking to scatter Your sheep, seeking to destroy Your flock. Lord, humble them. Humble them under Your mighty hand, either in Your grace and mercy or in Your just wrath and holy judgment, we pray. And preserve Your people as the very apple of Your eye. And deliver us, we pray, from all those who rise up against You, indeed from Satan's whole dominion. Destroy all the works of the devil. Drive out the darkness with Christ, the light of the world. We pray in His name. Amen.